What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to Sports Talk Show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons Report.
Back! Vic Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown! Oh, my goodness.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report on Dukes and Bell.
You know, in response to my why take a pay cut rant, Ezekiel Love, who follows us on social media, and you can too, guys, find us, says, Dukes, I get it about the pay cut thing. But do you want to win a Super Bowl or do you want to be the highest paid player at this point in your career? Sports is a different entity than other professions. That is what we're talking about. It is Dukes and Bell. We start off every
day. Yeah. Matt also represents Matt Stafford. I mean, what is Arthur? And I love it. I don't think. Why is Arthur saying these things?
He's saying them to get ahead of this conversation. He's saying them so that we, you and me, Mike and you, can go, you know what? Man, I hope Matt's about winning championships and not worried about being the highest paid guy. Because coming from the owner, this should mean something. Now, as you said, there's a negotiation that has to go on. But basically, Arthur Blank is getting in front of this and basically saying, hey, I think Matt's more worried, and I want you to listen to this, about his legacy.
I think he wants to win championships. He wants to win a Super Bowl. So part of what we have to keep in balance, and Matt has to help us do that, is that we want to sign a contract with Matt that's respectful and competitive with him, but one that positions the team we can continue to keep talent around him. Because as James will tell you, I don't care who the player is, you can't win with one player.
Now, here's the interesting thing, guys. The guy who just won the MVP, his third. How do you think, what do you think Tom Brady's salary cap hit is in New England?
Ooh, that's a good question. Is it 15, 20 million?
13.7 million. They move the money around in his contract. And there's an article you guys can look at. I'll post this up on Twitter so you can check it out from The Ringer, saying Tom Brady's contract is New England's real MVP.
Right.
Freeing up the cap space for all the other things. So, not telling anybody, so don't get it twisted, how to spend or earn their money. Because I think we'd all try to get our beak as far as we can in the trough and get as much as we can. But it is interesting because Arthur is kind of throwing it out there, almost intimating, look, other quarterbacks are doing this. Can you do this?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like, at least I'm trying to read between the lines. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you this, too. 404-741-0929. Call us, text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Same number, 404-741-0929. But Mike, I also think, you know, when you start talking about the real MVP is in New England's ability to find nobodies and turn them into somebodies.
Right.
I mean, who's getting paid in New England? Seriously, Malcolm Butler, a guy that just didn't even play. He didn't play, what, a down in the Super Bowl, their best corner, okay? They didn't want to pay him. This is the history of the Patriots. So, yeah, Brady is taking less. He's still making a lot of money. Don't get us wrong. But the idea to me is the real MVP is how they turn Chris Hogan into a star.
Well, that's just,
you know?
They draft well. They go I mean, they accumulate undrafted free agents that go on and do some great things. We all know that. I mean, you don't have to familiarize you with the New England game plan. But there's a great article here which talks about how the Patriots had nine Patriots made more than $4 million and less than $8
million. Yeah. See, but to me, that's front office. That's what we're talking about here when you start saying, is the front office going to make smart moves or not? And if they don't, then it puts you in cap hell or it hurts your football team moving forward.
It talks about how the Steelers, you know, Big Ben's getting a monster deal, 23.9. Then also they've got money invested in Antonio Brown, et cetera.
And Le'Veon's about to get his deal.
And that's the thing. So, I mean, there's more than one way, obviously, to do it. You got to have stars. This league is more about, you know, you got to have X's and O's, but you got to have Jims and Joes. We know that. But it is interesting, and that's the only reason I was looking at this article, is what is Arthur's endgame by putting it out there in an interview, which you know is going to be, obviously, you know, chopped up by guys like us.
Sure.
The fans are talking about it, too.
Well, I think Arthur Blank, I keep calling him AT, Arthur Blank wants to let the fans know that we're going to be smart in moving forward, but we're also, as he said, we're going to be respectful. You know what that means? He's going to get market value. Respectful is, I'm not going to try to pay Matt $10 million when the going rate, and a guy like Matthew Stafford, who doesn't have the playoff history, doesn't have an MVP, hadn't been to a Super Bowl, hasn't accomplished as much, but yet he got a lot more. That's not being respectful. So right. I get that from Arthur Blank. But here's the other thing, and this is something else that I think is good to hear. Arthur Blank came out and said the Falcons' offense must improve. It's an article that came out today, and I tweeted it out there. But he, you know, talks about this, and this came out, obviously, when he was up in Minneapolis and being at the Super Bowl. But he says, obviously, the offense was not consistent where it needed to be. And he says, I think Coach Dan, he's talking about Quinn, and Thomas Dimitroff, are addressing it. And he goes on to talk about how the points declined from, you know, 34 a game to 22.
Right.
But, Mike, one of the things that he says in here, and I think Dan Quinn acknowledged this, was we thought it would be easier than it was with the transition from Shanahan to Sarkisian. And both of these guys, Dan Quinn and Arthur Blank, both go, well, it wasn't. It wasn't.
See, the thing, don't you just love the fact the owner is actually saying this?
I do.
I mean, we have an owner. I mean, for what it's worth, you still got to go out there and plug in some guards and figure out what you want to do with Dontari Poe. And then if not, you got to go draft the DT. But I like the fact that the owner at least is saying the same thing that every Atlanta Falcon fan is saying. The offense blew it this year. You know, you put your faith in Sark and an offensive line that couldn't get the job done. Receivers took a giant step backwards. You know, you're paying Julio, to be one of the best receivers, and we think he is one of the best receivers. Yardage was there, but the touchdowns are down. And we're about to give Matt Ryan a ton of money, however it's negotiated.
However.
For $30 million, can the man learn how to throw a fade? Is that asking too much?
No, and I think listen, a lot of people would say if you're going to be in this realm of pay, we always talk about pay and expectations, right? Because it is. If you're not the highest guy on the totem pole, there's less responsibility and less, you know, attention paid to that individual. If you're the highest paid guy, and this is why we pay so much attention to quarterbacks in this league, like a Matt Ryan, like an Aaron Rodgers, you pick them. There is a certain degree of expectation that goes with that and a performance level, right?
Right.
So I totally agree. What do you guys think, man? Hit us up, 404-741-0929. And here's the basic question on this. You know, if you are Matt Ryan and you're sitting at home today, okay, and you're going, listen, man, we are close. And I know my deal, you know, they want to give me an extension. And are you going to call the Falcons or tell your agent Tom Condon to go, you know what, man? Listen, I really don't even care about being the highest paid guy. Let's make a fair deal. And if that means I have to take less, so be it. But let's make sure we get the pieces. Is that what you're doing?
You know, the thing is, and one thing about Matt, because he's such a low-key guy, you know, you're the MVP. A lot of guys, other than what we had the Gatorade ad, and I'm not saying, not telling Matt how to, you know, spend his money, but other guys have other revenue streams that are high-profile guys. You know, so for Matt, you don't really have that. You know, he's not exactly a pitch man. You know, I mean, so I don't know how much that means. You and I would all go for as much gusto as we could get in a contract. But what Arthur is saying is, and there's another thing, we have a great window right now, but when we have to pay Grady Jarrett, and we got to pay Debo and Keanu and all those guys, and Vic Beasley and, you know, Tack, all, you got to pay those guys. You can't do that if you got a salary cap hit, which is going to be just too enormous. Although you could also argue, and Tom Condon, his agent will, the salary cap was like what the stock market did today. Bounce back in a big way. It's a rocket ship to the moon. Every year we're adding millions of dollars to the salary cap.
Yeah, and that's hard to defend as an owner when you used to be able to say, well, we can only spend. I mean, you're talking about the salary. At some point, Mike, here in a few years, the salary cap's going to be like $200 million.
Right.
You haven't expanded rosters. You're still paying the same amount of guys. It's how you allocate that money. So, and now with the way that the rookie deals are structured, you know what you're getting into. It's not like the old days where you drafted a guy and went, he's going to hold out. He wants this. And you paid a guy and overpaid for him, and then he didn't do crap for you, right. And you were blank out of luck.
So Arthur throws it out there a little bit, gives us something to chop up, as now we have turned the page, guys, on 17.
Some of us. Chip and Griffin, you're in the game. What's going on, Chip? Hey, man.
Now, hey, man, going to keep it real with you for a minute.
All right.
Let me say what I need to say now. All right. Matt. Seem like Arthur Blank saying that, hey, to all the NFL, you know, owners, I don't see why y'all paying these other quarterback all this money. At the same time, he's trying to tell Matt that you don't deserve it, Matt. He say, but hey, if you work with me, I'm gonna work with you to get the players you need to keep you upright. Because this year, Matt has truly regressed, and as y'all guys said, your performance, man, it just got to stand out a little bit more. I wouldn't be mad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would definitely understand if he wanted to take a little cut just to get the players he needed to keep him upright.
Yeah.
Y'all got to keep it going.
And by the way, Carl, it doesn't necessarily have to be a pay cut. It's just how creative you are with the cap.
Contract.
Yeah, how
yes.
creative you are with writing the contract as far as the money that's guaranteed so you can lessen the cap hit. We've seen other guys do that. So that's not being – I don't think that's asking too much.
No.
You're still taking home the guaranteed loot.
No, and if you're just tuning in or maybe you hadn't heard us in the last few days, you're going, what are you guys talking about? Matt's on the contract. He is. But it's been noted by people in the front office that he will get an extension moving forward. He's not going to go in the last year of his deal and not be taken care of. So we're talking about this because it's something that's going to be done, I think, sooner than later. Mm-hmm. Because, again, the NFL has the system a little bit backwards where you got to kind of know what you're going to be able to spend in free agency, Mike. The only way you do that is get some of these deals done. And obviously you're going to be able to release some guys and get some numbers off the books as well.
So, guys, moving forward, the Falcons, we talked about the needs, obviously the offensive line. It's a very lean, unless the Falcons have different evaluations than the ones that we're all reading about, the guards that are available in free agency, whether you want to do that through the draft. You got it. First things first. I mean, and that's all things stem from this offensive line being better. That's what the drove us crazy. We talked about it yesterday. You're watching the Patriots and the Eagles, and the quarterbacks have time to throw, and the running backs have got holes to run through, and we just seem like we're on roller skates going backwards half the season.
David and Cumming, you're up next. Hey, man, talk to us.
Hey, guys. I think you kind of hit on the point earlier when you were talking about the draft and your players. The biggest thing I think the Falcons need to do is, I mean, if you really look at the team, you've got a receiver making back max money. You've got a running back making pretty much max money. And now you're talking about a quarterback making max money. The reality is if you want to really build your team, you build your team by guys number 12 through 32 and definitely 32 through 52 on the roster. Mm. And then that actually affords you some flexibility to what you can do to like 1 through 12 or something. But that's the biggest thing I think that the Falcons have really struggled with is when you talk about it, when you get in that 12 to 32 range, now you're into guards that really aren't doing their job. And you're talking about a backup tackle that you really can't put out there, or a fullback that you paid and didn't do anything, or a kick returner that you paid and he didn't do anything. I mean, they've made some mistakes in that 12 to 32 range that's really cost them, and they're basically having to ask Ryan for some flexibility to try to fix it. Okay, but now if I'm Matt Ryan, you know what, guys?
What
are we going to do about here where the problem is?
It's a great point, David, and I always talk about this, the rosters that you know, have depth, and this is what you're talking about. That guy, you know, your 22 guys at start, you know, you could take pretty much any of those guys from around the league. That's close, man.
Right.
I mean, those guys that start the game, but it's the depth when you acquire injuries, injuries occur or other things, Mike, and you start going, all right, well, what does it look like? That's been an issue. And those guys, if you overpay,
Well, that goes back to why I've always got this fixation on our personnel department about getting it right on offensive line. The Eagles lost Jason Peters, and they won the Super Bowl.
All pro.
They won the Super Bowl because they got depth. We lose Schrader for a couple days. We plug in a guy named Sombrero, who was a bust out from the Broncos we wasted a fifth-round pick on. We got Schweitzer, a sixth-rounder, who can't do the job. Garland is the tough-as-nails guy, but he's a backup. And this is the line that the personnel department gave you this year. So, I mean, there's blame about receivers dropping passes, but there should be blame with guys that are putting these rosters together.
All right, more of your thoughts, 404-741-0929. We'll take more of your calls coming up here on the program. Hey, Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's. Large three-topping pizza right now. Carry out only, guys, any day of the week. It is an amazing deal. It's delicious. It's Domino's. All right, we're going to let you hear Rob Gronkowski calling 911 here in just a second. If you didn't hear that story, his whole house got robbed. That's not me saying. That's what Rob said.
Man, they're hitting a lot of athletes when they're on the road these days. NBA, NFL, you really need to have your
security team.
Somebody, or you got to have somebody with a gat.
Security!
In a living room or something.
Yeah, we'll let you hear that. I didn't even know that he called 911, and a story just came out in the Boston Globe. Real quick, AT, are you looking at Malcolm Butler's Twitter? Because I do want to put this out there. AT just said to me, Tom Brady just responded to Malcolm Butler. I went, I didn't even know Brady was on Twitter. Like, okay. So apparently Butler puts out a statement. We read it a little bit earlier, and then we're going to get back to your phone calls about, you know, apologizing for his behavior or some of the language he used. Still really giving no answers to what happened with the Super Bowl and why he did not play. But what does Brady respond? How does Brady respond to this long paragraph, I guess it is, of from Malcolm Butler?
As a matter of fact, this was posted on Instagram.
Okay.
Malcolm Butler posted it initially on Instagram.
Okay.
Brady responded, quote, love you, Malcolm. You're an incredible player and teammate and friend. Always, exclamation point, several times.
Yeah, because you won a Super Bowl for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Brady's not on the field at the end of that game. It was Seattle going in for a touchdown. They don't run the ball. You have it long documented. Seattle players are still upset about it, and Butler makes the pick on a slant.
Well, you remember how Brady was jumping around on the sideline, huh?
Right.
Squealing.
Well, hey. You know, the thing with the Brady, we were talking about some of the numbers earlier. We started the show, guys, in this hour with the Falcon Report, and Arthur Blank basically saying, in his own way, you know, hope we can do a good contract, Matt. Wink, wink. One that's advantageous for both of us. Well, I'm, you know me, I'm the worst at math. You're a little bit better at math than I am. This finger's this close apart.
Only when it comes to contracts. Go
but,
ahead.
But when we start to look at the numbers, and I do a double take, if you base it on the cap hit, guess how much Julio Jones earned per touchdown this year?
Probably somewhere in the range of, I don't know, 80,000, maybe 150,000 touchdown.
No. It's three touchdowns this year.
Huh?
Three.
Huh?
Julio earned $4.63 million per touchdown this season. Because if you take his contract divided by three touchdowns, that's what it comes out. I did the math twice to make sure I was right.
Was that what you were doing over there in the break?
You know me, man. The worst
I wondered what you were doing. You were like, stop.
Dude, I spent an hour on TurboTax trying to put in my numbers this morning, just trying to read my W-2s.
So three touchdowns, $4
million. Yeah, $4.63 million per touchdown. See, here's the thing. If I'm Arthur Blank, seriously, when I'm with Matt and I signed this contract, now, can you and Julio get on the same page, you numbskulls? You know what I mean? That's the thing. Because the two guys are going to be eating the biggest chunk of that salary cap pie, got to generate more than three touchdowns in 2018. Now, I don't care if it's Sark. I don't care if Bill Walsh comes down from heaven to call plays. You got to get in the end zone.
Yeah, red zone. Brian in Stone Mountain, man. Appreciate you holding on. What's going on, Brian? You're in the game. Hey, man.
Hey, guys. First time caller, man. I've been listening to your show for a long time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me ask you a question.
Thank you.
I'm not trying to be funny or anything.
Oh, be funny. Come on.
But would you take a pay cut so that you get some better equipment and
For equipment? Or, no, that's the company's responsibility.
No, matter of fact, man, we had a guy text us earlier. Guy texted earlier on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line. He goes, Mike, if you got a raise and it meant someone would get fired. I'm like, yeah, so what?
My point is that this is a unique industry, you know, where guys get paid a lot of money. And, of course, yes, as fans, we want them to take a pay cut so that we can get the tools that we need, the men that we need to protect it, you know, and be better as a team. But I have another question for you, and I haven't heard it since the season ended.
Okay.
I was wondering if there's any stats on the amount of times that the Falcons' offense did the hurry-up offense last year as opposed to this year, and if they would give Matt the keys to drive that Ferrari, that offense.
I got the keys.
Like they did last year. I mean, it seems like they're holding them back.
Yeah, listen, you know what, Brian? Listen, you bring up great points, man. First of all, thank you for listening. Secondly, tell your friends. And we appreciate you joining us and giving us your input. To your point about we just had this discussion, ironically, didn't we, Mike, about no huddle? And we were talking about this, trying to figure out. And we've got to do some extensive research because now you're talking about every game, how many times we ran it. We're going to look at this, but I'm going to tell you just off the top of my head that we did not run it as much as we did in 2016.
Now, remember when we asked Shanahan about it, let's take it back a year back to the Super Bowl season. Shanahan wasn't a big fan of it either, but Matt always seems to really play better and going all the way back to the days as a rookie with Malarkey. So now look, here's the thing about the hurry up. It's not like you're trying to, you know, rush him up the line. You're just trying to give Matt in a rhythm, you know, and see, let's see what's going on with the defense. But if you don't get a first down, it doesn't matter because now it's three and out. That was the problem with some of our lack of execution this year where we never gotten a chance to really take advantage of it. I always thought, Carl, especially after a scoring drive in those early games last year, that was the time to come out and put Matt in it to get into a rhythm.
Go, yeah.
Right? Because when we could least afford a three and out, that's when they seem to be happening. But again, that's also a combination of a first-year offensive coordinator, and maybe he's hesitant to do it. We seem to do it a little bit more later in the season.
I agree, man.
We dialed it up against the Rams in the playoff
game. We did. And again, you can't do it all the time. We have this conversation with Dave Archer all the time, play quarterback for the Falcons and is the color analyst. But you can't do it all the time. But you can do it in certain situations. And that is what we're talking about. I don't want us to go out every, you know, this isn't the run and shoot. We don't want to do that.
Right.
But there are situations. Let's talk to Katie in Woodstock. Katie, you're in the game. It's Dukes and Bell. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Man, the first thing that I would like to say is there's a reason that Tom Brady can take a pay cut, because his wife makes a lot more money than him, and he's throwing in on the bills at that house. So, you know, but the other thing that I wanted to say is Matt Ryan, man, we definitely need to pay him. You know, I mean, Mike, I've sat about four rows in front of you with my bucket hat on since 98. And, you know, he's made our tickets a lot more valuable than when we had Byron Leftwich or Joey Harrington.
Right. Well, that's a lost season. You know? That's a hell of a spike right there. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess the one thing that I would like to say to all Falcons fans is it's nice to be expecting to win. You know, I mean, back in those days, back in the 90s when we went, you know, went through all those games, dude, we weren't expecting to win. But now we're expecting a Super Bowl, man. And well, that's yes. where we're at now. That's
well,
awesome.
The expectation, KD, is as high as it's ever been for this franchise. I remember in 2012 when we go to the NFC Championship game and we didn't get there, 2012, 2013, and I said the expectation is not getting to the NFC Championship game.
Right.
It's getting to the Super Bowl. And then we got there and we come up short. That is the expectation. We're good enough to do that. And we've got a coaching staff in place. The pieces are in place. So you're absolutely right. This is not the team that Matt Ryan came to. It is a better team. It is a better run organization. That is all absolutely true. But how do you get there now with how you're going
to
pay guys?
I mean, love to be a fly on the wall when it gets down to brass tacks between Thomas and Pioli and whoever else is in the room talking to Tom Condon. And again, a guy who represents all the big-name quarterbacks in the league, represents Matt. Matthew Stafford right now is the big dog at $27 million a year. Now, if they can go find Carl a running back in the draft that they can have a four-year window with, then, yeah, they could be off and running. But they've never seemed to supply a running back for that guy. So he's taking a big chunk of the cap. Derek Carr, $25 million. Andrew Luck not on the field, $24.5 million. So Matt's going to be making north of that. Matt, Breeze, they're all going to be around $30 million. I'm not that concerned with the cap space as long as we can get a Super Bowl in the next year. Hey, you pay Matt $50 million to win the Super Bowl next year. But we've got to make sure we don't miss on the O-line, on the pieces we've got to add. And we first things first, give the man the weapons. We always argue about this. In 16, we bring in Alex Mack. He's got a pocket. We go to the Super Bowl. Last year, we had guys that can't start for other NFL teams playing offensive line. Look what happened. We barely scrape into the playoffs, and almost even we're there, our defense picks up the weight, and we almost get there.
Yeah. You know, even looking back, like you remember the Eagles, the first touchdown against the Eagles? That was like a makeshift play. Like Matt's just, you know, creating. Right, he's just running. That wasn't the call. He flips it to free in the end zone. Yeah, you know, I mean, we had our issues certainly in the red zone. That's got to get better. One more call. Marco's driving around. Marco. I know. Somebody's supposed to say Polo. Hey, Marco, man. What's up, man?
Hey, man.
What's going on?
Hey, man. What's up, man?
You tell me.
Hey, man. First off, man, Arthur Blank, I say he's just putting some of that out there, man, just to let everybody know he a fan like us.
Right.
He watching the games, too. I mean, he ain't said nothing. Ain't nobody else said the offense ain't right. I mean, he just said, hey, I'm watching the games, too. Like, you know what I mean? He a fan, too. But my point was, man, I coach Little League football. And, you know, man, coaching is about taking what you got and using it. You know what I'm saying? Nick Saban turned Alabama to a West Coast offense in the second half of the national championship.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean – you know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes when I have a kid, okay, maybe you can't bust through the line, but you know what? Just fall down in the A-gap. You know what I'm saying? It's about being able to take what you got and teach them how to fit into your scheme the best way they can.
You're right.
You know what
you're
I'm
right.
saying?
Listen.
The worst thing I hate is to blame a coach to stand up and blame the player. Mm. Like, even if he didn't do the job, you put him there.
Well, Marco, you know who just did this? Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
He just did this with Nick Foles. I mean, he didn't ask Nick Foles to do what Carson Wentz did. They adjusted accordingly. They didn't change their whole offense, but he put Nick Foles in a position to be successful.
And we talked about the depth of the O-line, the fact that they lose Peters, their starting tackle, and they're able to get it done. I mean, they play to the strengths, and they also don't forget, they use zone blocking scheme. They'll use a regular gap scheme. They showed a lot of versatility and virtuosity, if you will, especially in the Super Bowl. But that's the thing. I mean, this also gets back to, even though it's not his department, don't you want Dan Quinn a little more involved with what's going on offensively?
He's got to be.
I mean, just to crack some heads, if nothing else. And that's
crack some skulls? You want him to crack some skulls?
What's that line my dad used to say? Bang your head against the wall until something useful comes out.
Now you want Quinn cracking skulls?
Yeah, well, you know what? He'd wear his Sons of Anarchy Falcon biker vest, come in there and go... Not on my watch, pal. Pow.
Hey, Rob Gronkowski. Unfortunately, his house got broken into. We'll let you hear the 911 call. We're coming back. We got some stories for you guys. Appreciate every one of you guys chiming in on that Matt Ryan conversation. It's Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Conti down at Phillips Arena getting ready for the Hawks game tonight. He'll have the pre, half, and post game for you. Steve Holmer will have the call. Hawks back in action tonight, which means it's time for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti with us, Dukes and Bell.
Yeah.
Mike, let's start first with this 911 call, Craig. Let's play this. For those who missed the story, and it is unfortunate, you know, your way playing at a Super Bowl.
Obviously, the guys at Rob Gronk's place, not the biggest Patriots fans, because how can you do a guy like that when he's trying to represent New England in the Super Bowl?
That's a good point. But Gronk's home got broken into. And what was the report, Mike? Multiple safes and guns stolen?
Yeah, by the way, what is his crib all about? By the way, was this the Italian job? They bring a crane in? How big were these safes that they got out? Anyway, but we got Gronk actually calling 911.
911, line recorded. Where is your emergency?
Hello, this isn't an emergency. This is just this is Rob Gronkowski calling. And while I was gone, my whole house got robbed while on the Super Bowl trip. And I just got back.
And I'm sure the 911 operator's like, huh? I mean, really?
Right.
Either way, the reports were, and AT said this to me, we talked this morning, he was like, the cops were over there like for 5 hours. And I'm sorry, we love the men and women in blue, but hey, what were you doing over there for 5 hours?
Gronk, Officer Sullivan, this is Officer Murphy. You mind if we sit down? You got Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Oh, I love the French vanilla. Wow, look at the picture of you with that porn star. Holy cow. Hey, is that a pool table? They didn't steal that. Anyway, so apparently they're hanging around. Well, it did seem like they took everything that wasn't nailed down, according to the Boston Herald.
You got the cops playing pool at Gronk's while they investigate this robbery.
Gronk, by the way, is any beer in that fridge? Throw me a Sam Adams, Gronk.
They did have the audio from the thieves, though, that did end up stealing it from his house.
What's that?
Don't you want to see what's inside?
Faster.
Yeah. 13 across, 4 high, 4 deep.
It's $27 million worth of gold.
Yeah! Got the Holy Spirit. You should get on it.
Always love the Italian job.
It's a good movie, man. I enjoyed it.
Watch the original with Michael Caine the other night, which is still good in its own way. It's a time capsule because it's late 60s.
60s, yeah, I was going to say.
A little different vibe, but it's interesting. But, you know, in the case of Gronk, we've seen other NBA players have had this happen. Other football players when guys are out of town. I mean, you do know you've got a place you were case. Inside job, you think it was somebody, obviously, who did some... We're going to find out if it was somebody who did put a security system and then disabled it? Or
who? Well, that, potentially. And if you have a security system, I suggest you use it. but because a lot of people don't. I mean, that's the thing. People have them and they don't. But the other thing, Mike, is I would think, how would you know where the safes are?
Right.
I mean, it's one thing that you can scope somebody's house out, but you're already taking a chance to be in the home. And by the way, how do you know somebody's not watching Gronk's house? How do you know that somebody's not going to stop by?
That's what I'm saying. I always, because my dad was a cop and I never wanted to be a cop, but I do watch a lot of procedural cop dramas. I can tell you that.
Makes you a cop on the radio.
Which makes me a cop on the radio, pal. Thank you, Carl. That, you know, you would think, I mean, how does somebody get that information other than was somebody hiding in plain sight? You know, they're putting some new wood paneling in Gronk's, and you got the truck in the driveway, and those guys go to work.
Well, if you guys remember, Yasiel Puig's house was robbed in Game 7 of the World Series while he was playing.
That's right. Yeah, so, you know, listen, again, we're not trying to tell these guys
how
to
spend... And they took a bunch of sofas with plastic covering on it.
That's not right. I don't want to tell these guys how to spend their money, but yeah, man, I mean, listen, if you're going to be gone and everybody knows that you're playing in these situations, you might want to have some security. And this is another reason, though, Mike, where guys don't want to let people know where they live. I mean, honestly.
That's true.
You know,
I mean, that's why I always
gated communities.
I don't use my real name on the radio. I mean, my real name is actually it's Goldberg. Anyway, guys, another story for you. The Miami Marlins.
I saw your W-2. I know it is.
25th anniversary. 25th anniversary of the Florida Marlins. Yeah, I know, because Charlie Huff threw the first pitch. I was like one of 10 people. No, there's more than 10 people there. Billy the Marlin, the mascot, has been fired.
What?
This week, John DeChicco, the person who wore the mascot outfit for about over 10 years, according to the Miami Herald, is fired He is apparently out, and this is, I guess, part of the Derek Jeter shakeup of every aspect of the Marlins organization, from Giancarlo Stanton to the guy dressed up as the Marlin. They're supposed to be taking down that Marlin pinwheel, by the way, out in center field.
Are they?
Supposedly, yeah.
It's kind of dumb, though, isn't it?
You know, the Marlins website says he's 8 feet tall. That's a 250-pound mascot outfit. That's a big one.
Yeah, that is. That's a big mask
yeah.
that the guy has on. So he's been fired, though.
Apparently so.
Yeah. What was his? What was he making, by the way?
You know, I've tried. That's what I'm scrolling down. I was trying to see if he's making the. He's making an hourly rate.
Because these mascots make pretty good money, man.
Yeah, apparently the new regime also moving out guys, including Jeff Conine, Jack McKean, who was around still alive, the manager that won in 03. So they've changed everything from stem to stern over there.
Well, it is a proven fact. If you're making money for the Marlins, you will be fired. So he probably is getting paid.
Mm. By the way, I looked at tickets because I'm going to be down in Florida 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
Like front row tickets and club level, like $30.
It's a steal.
No, again, you're betting against yourself in that one. Yeah. There's nobody out there.
Well, Mike, make sure you take your glove. They might ask you to play.
Hey, speaking of baseball, real quick, Todd Frazier signs with the Mets. He had been a Yankee. He had come over last year. A couple Braves fans were hitting us up earlier on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line saying, why didn't the Braves get in that mix? Well, Austin Riley is supposed to, Carl, be coming up at some point. And I guess they're just going to use Camargo, and I guess Rio Ruiz will be coming up. But the Braves don't want to invest in third base because they think, I guess, they got their third baseman of the future. Maybe coming up by the end of the season for the call-up.
I'm curious as spring training approaches, pitchers and catchers, Mike, they got to stretch guys out. I am curious to see what some of this young talent is going to look like. Because, listen, what are we waiting on, right? We've been saying this. Acuna, he should get an opportunity. But some of these other guys that we've talked about, and mainly it has to do with a lot of these pitchers, I just don't know if they're ready. And that's going to be the other issue for the Braves. But I am very interested in seeing how this plays out with the spring training with Snicker, who said the one thing they are lacking, and I don't think it's any secret, is more pop outside of Freddie Freeman.
Again, we're filling in for Conti, who's down there at Phillips Arena for the Hawks tonight. Hawks fever.
Catch it!
Grizzlies in town. Hey, you saw the trailer for the new Han Solo movie.
Loved it. Young Lando is played by Danny Glover, who stars in that TV show. AT, you actually, I think you turned me on it. Was it maybe... is it ATL, the show he stars in? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Anna?
Yeah, ATL.
ATL, yes. Mm-hmm. And I think, I want to say, it was you or someone else here in the studio turned me on to it. But
anyways, Jarvis. It was Jarvis.
Yeah, yeah. Jarvis, thank you. What up, Jarvis? And but he looked the part. Just, again, they showed you just enough to capture your interest.
Right.
And you hear the voice. If you missed the trailer, you hear this voice. Obviously, it's Han Solo, and he's like, what do you want to do? He's like, I want to be the best pilot in the galaxy. Right. And, you know, it looked pretty cool, man.
And we'll see how he got to meet Chewbacca. Meanwhile, in case you're wondering, you and I, where did we come down on that last Star Wars, the Last Jedi? What did we say?
Well, I liked it, Mike. You had an issue with Princess Leia floating to the ship.
Yeah, they changed the mythology. Yeah. But anyway, you know, you got to stick with it. Yeah,
I mean, you weren't the only one. That's the one thing I came back. I think you were out, right. And everybody was like, dudes. Okay, wait, dude, I love it, but what about Princess Leia outside the ship? I'm like, guys, she has the Force.
And Luke's like, oh, I don't want to fight, and he fights and he dies. Okay. Anyway, reason I bring it up is they're going to reboot the reboot. The word is, according to USA Today, the dudes who are running Game of Thrones, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, could be contracted with Lucasfilm. They are tapped to write and produce a new series of Star Wars films. These will be separate from the episodes of the Skywalker saga. So there'll be something else from the Star Wars galaxy, probably, you know, years down the road. But the guys from Game of Thrones look like they're going to be involved.
Disney now owns it, and it will go on forever now. Right. I mean, honestly, there'll be spinoffs and all kinds of different things. And I said that the other day, and my daughter was like, Solo, what's that? I was like, yeah, that's another one. All right, man, coming up, top three at 6. And also, if you missed Jeff Santel, he was terrific today talking about the Dogs in this recruiting period. Tomorrow, National Signing Day, we'll let you hear what he had to say and how impressive this class is looking for the Georgia Bulldogs. It's all coming your way in the 6 o'clock hour here on Dukes and Bell.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.